2FM. Game On's Fantasy Football.
Hello and you're very welcome along to the Game On Fantasy Football podcast, and we're getting ready for Game Week 36. Of course, Andrew O'Connor is still away this week. He has done his job at Newcastle and has now gone down to Chelsea to help Jose control his backroom staff. So as we look ahead to the upcoming Game Week, I am once again joined by Paul Caffrey from FantasyPremierLeagueTransfers.com. Paul, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well indeed. How about yourself, Phil? How are you keeping?
Yeah, can't complain. Wish it was a better game week for me, but apart from that, we'll keep trucking.
Good. Well, there's a lot to talk about tonight, so we might as well get started.
Yeah, I suppose we'll start with our usual look back at the last game week, which was, of course, game week 35. And that kicked off at 12:45 last Saturday as Tottenham beat Fulham 3-1. Kabul, Paulinho and Kane with the goals. Lennon and Eriksen with the assist for Tottenham. And Sidwell with the goal for Fulham, but of course he did miss that penalty, so that's going to cancel out some points
really,
there.
Really changed the game. It made a big difference. So yeah. Shame for him.
Yeah, Aston Villa nil all with Southampton. Probably a result we didn't particularly see coming, but it looks like Southampton could be definitely one of those sides who are going into holiday mode early. Cardiff were 1-1 with Stoke. Whittingham with the Cardiff goal. Stoke or Martovic with the Stoke goal. Two penalties there kind of told the story of that game. Swansea beat Newcastle 2-1. Wilfred Bonny with two goals. Sholi Amiobi got the goal for Newcastle. De Jong got the assist for the Magpies, with Davies and Emnes getting the assist for the Swans. Crystal Palace bet West Ham 1-0 at Upton Park. Jedinak, another penalty. Cameron Jerome got the assist for that one. Sunderland, they brought to an end Jose's home winning record, 2-1 to Sunderland. Barini with the goal, and Connor Wickham again on the score sheet.
Yeah, he's done well. He's done it a few times now. And first time in 78 games, Mourinho and Chelsea suffer a home defeat together. So, look, Sunderland have to go and build on it and actually get themselves out of trouble now. They're in a very good position, 3 points off the bottom. And so the question is, should we look at Sunderland players? So we'll look to address that in a little while.
Yeah, we certainly will. Liverpool 3-2 winners over Norwich. Liverpool looked to be plain sailing early on. Norwich, in fairness to them, showed some good fight back. Sterling with two goals for Liverpool and Suarez with a third. And Snodgrass and Hooper on the score sheet for the Canaries. Arsenal were 3-0 victors and a fairly comfortable victory, I would say, over Hull. Ramsey got a goal, Podolski with two, and then Ramsey picked up two assists and Cathorla with the other assist for the Gunners. Everton 2, Manchester United 0. The final nail in Moyes' coffin. Leighton Baines and Kevin Mirallesh with the goals for Everton, and Coleman and Lukaku with the assists for the Toffees. And that was it. That was all she wrote, and Moyes was out the door.
Yeah. I mean, look, there was no spirit there. You know, Ferguson used to leave Rooney out of this game, and his performance in this game is particularly bad. I read that he lost the ball 24 times and didn't regain it once. Not to pin it on that decision itself, it was a very, very poor game, and something which was seen a lot of by United fans this year, and I suppose won't be seen with Moyes at the helm anymore.
Well, this is it. And Manchester City finished off the game week on Monday night, 3-1 victory over West Brom. Zabaleta, Di Michaelis and Aguero with the goals for City, and Graham Dorans on the score sheet for West Brom. In fairness, Paul, it was a rather average game week. No major scores. Luis Suarez didn't add to his hat-trick tally against Norwich, and Adebayor was off the pace for Tottenham, as we thought he may have done quite well, and Lallana didn't really do a whole lot. Mata didn't do much. It was a pretty poor game week from a lot of the big name players. I mean, the average points total last week was only 52 points.
Yeah, quite poor. I think when you look at it, a lot of it was penalties. A lot of games only had a goal here or there, and a couple of results that weren't expected. Obviously Southampton not scoring, obviously Everton getting that 2-0 win over United wasn't expected, and I suppose I myself had Coleman on the bench because I had quite a strong team of players who were particularly playing at home. Yes, first sub, so I was hoping Zeka wouldn't play on Monday night, but sadly he did and got an epic 2 points.
Yeah.
So it's one of them where obviously then you see the likes of Chelsea getting beaten too, and as you said, Suarez didn't exactly set the world on fire at Liverpool. However, Sterling is one that he's been doing quite well. He's playing in a very attacking role at the minute. So that's what the question is. Should we look to get back on Arsenal players now as well? So there's a couple of things to talk about and address. Obviously, Wilfred Bonny was one we spoke about last week. He popped up with two goals. So really, the decision was kind of him or Adebayor. So I think a lot of people were probably swayed by the home fixture, and it didn't pay off this time.
No, that's just it. So I suppose, having looked back at game week 35, let's get to game week 36 and our three focus games. Right, three focus games this week, Paul. Where do you want to start us off?
Yeah, well, look, we have to start off at Old Trafford. All eyes are going to be there on Saturday night. Obviously, Ryan Giggs and four members of the class of 92 are going to be leading Manchester United against Norwich. And if we look at the records coming into this, United are going in with three wins and three defeats in the last six games, 22 goals over their 16 home games this season, and they've also conceded 19, so it's not great. Obviously, five clean sheets. David Moyes, I mean, he did have a 50% win rate, which was third best of any Man United manager in history. However, wasn't enough to I suppose, save his job. And on the other side of things, if we look at it, 57 points, that is the lowest point total United have had at this stage in the season since the 1991 season when they had 56. Rafael is out, Evers a doubt, and Van Persie looks like he's not going to be involved either. And if we have a look on the Norwich side of things, well, look, it probably couldn't be a better game for Giggs and Cota to take on. Norwich, they really kind of are in free fall. They've only one win in their last six games, five defeats there too. They've only managed 11 goals in 17 away games and have conceded 40 goals during that time, collecting just three clean sheets. And Fulham are the only team to have actually conceded more goals on the road than Norwich, and we know how poor they've been this season. Really, when you look at it, last year United got a 4-0 win. Kagawa got a hat-trick in this game. Wayne Rooney also scored. It's all eyes on United. We saw Paul Scholes, the latest member of the class of 92 to join the coaching staff, and I recall his, I suppose, when he was speaking about the Manchester City game a few weeks ago when he did punditry on it, he was just saying that, you know, when I was two or three goals down, I never felt we were beaten. However, in that game, when they got 1-0 down, they never thought they could get back into it. So, I mean, look, the spirit is there, the aggression, the attack and pass, and playing football with wingers is something which United has always thrived upon, and obviously Giggs being a winger himself. Just leads me to believe that I'd be expecting big performances from Rooney. I'd be expecting big performances from Mata. Interesting to see if Kagawa will get into the team. And the other side of things is, I imagine Yanovai must be in a very good shout to start in this game, plus boosted by the fact he's declared as international. He's going to play international football for Belgium. So bringing wingers back into the fold, I would suspect Yanovai will come in and play. And he would be one I'd be looking at this week. What about yourself, Phil? I mean, do you think there's going to be a big performance and a lot of points, fantasy points on the board here for United, or do you think it might be a little bit more difficult than that?
Yeah, it's a tough one to call. I mean, obviously, we've seen time and time again, and it's at other clubs because the stability at United over such a long period of time has been so good. But we have seen historically when new managers come in or there's been a change at the helm that we do get a reaction from players. I do expect United to go on and win this game. I don't think it's going to be easy. I mean, Norwich are in the relegation dogfight. They really need to pull something out of the bag. I mean, like I said in the intro when we were looking at the game week 35 games, I mean, Liverpool looked to be home and host within the kind of 20-25 minutes, and Norwich managed to come back into the game. They got some goals, and really kind of Liverpool were kind of holding on a bit at the end, and certainly I think Norwich will look to push United. But I do think there will be points. I think you're right. Mata is one that they're going to have to look to. I think in some aspects of the team, when you look at the fact that Giggs is now in charge, he's brought in Paul Scholes, Phil Neville is still there. The shackles are going to be off to an extent. You know, they are going to try and push forward. They're going to try and play some attacking football. They're going to try and cheer the crowd up. They've nothing left to play for. And, you know, the Old Trafford crowd expect to be entertained. And I think certainly that's what they're going to have to try and do this week. So I think Mata, you're right, is one to look at. And Yanovai has declared his allegiance to Belgium. And certainly he'll be looking to put a performance in, because obviously he could be in with a chance of going to the World Cup now that he's actually decided to declare. So he'll be looking to put a performance in. And, I mean, interestingly enough, you did mention Kagawa. I mean, he got a hat-trick in this fixture last year with United. I think they won 4-0. So certainly, you know, he has history in his favour to say he can do it against Norwich. But I mean, realistically, it's got to be Wayne Rooney. You have to look to him to lead the line. He's been touted as the next United captain when Vidic leaves, and certainly there'll be a lot of eyes on him to see how he reacts to Moyes' departure and whether he can push United on and drag them out of the slump that they're in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, I sat in the stand on a very cold October night when United beat Norwich 4-0 in the Capital One Cup earlier on this year, and Hernandez picked up two goals that day. I don't think he's going to get a game. I'd like to see him play. He's somebody who I think, if we gave him more game time to, would certainly keep delivering the goals that he has done when he's appeared. But really, I know Norwich are in that dogfight. I think you're taking a risk if you're not going to have three Man United players in your team this week, because I can only imagine the atmosphere is going to be electric. The shackles are off. They're playing for, you know, a guy who a lot of them, they must obviously get on well with and must respect, because he wouldn't have been pushed into that position. I mean, Giggs wouldn't be put there if the players, I suppose, didn't idolise him. And I suppose the most decorated player in United's history really kind of now has a chance to go and just get a couple of games under his belt, get that, tick that box, so maybe to lead United at some point in the future. So, I mean, for me, I'm going to have Rooney in my team. I'm going to have Maddox. I'm going to take a punt that Januzaj is going to play. I'm going to monitor that more closely as the days go by to kind of see, just to make sure that he is, in fact, in line for start. But they will be the three players I'm going for. I'm not going to go for a United clean sheet. So, and then nothing on the Norwich side of things.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to look at United for a clean sheet, certainly going into this one, and even to know what way the United defence is going to line up. I mean, Johnny Evans is back and he's fit. Everett is a bit of a doubt. Is Butler going to continue there? And certainly, is it going to be, now that Giggs is in charge, does Ferdinand now get back to that central half pairing with Vidic, or is it a case that Smalling or Jones will step in there? So it is a little bit hard to call at this point, and I think that's going to be something we'll have to monitor very closely as the weekend goes by. But I think for those managers who do fancy Norwich to put up a fight like they did against Liverpool, I think there is value to be had in Robert Snodgrass. I mean, he's 5.9 million. He was on the score sheet against Liverpool last week, but he's got three goals in his last seven games, and he seems to be the only one really at Norwich that is certainly looking to push them on and seems really up for the fight. So certainly if anyone was looking for a punt on a Norwich midfielder, now I know their fixtures after this one are still tricky, it's that way till the end of the season, but certainly at 5.9 million, he could be an interesting one.
You know, you're flogging a dead horse to me. He might be cheap, but still, I'm not going for it.
So it's all United this week then, yeah?
I think so, yeah.
Right.
That's going to very much shape my game week.
Okay, well, sure, we'll move it on. Where do you want to go next?
I suppose the other big, big game of the weekend, Liverpool versus Chelsea.
Hang on, hang on. Another big game. Are you honestly suggesting to me that United and Norwich is a big game this weekend?
Yeah, well, I'm probably more thinking of the Palace City game as we kind of jump around the running order.
Oh, okay.
But, it'll certainly be probably the most viewed game, next to the Liverpool Chelsea game. So, you know.
Right, go on then.
Fair point, yeah. I've reeled it back in. That's hands up, yeah. Fair enough. Bad pass. So looking at Liverpool Chelsea, obviously this is effectively going to decide the league title, you would imagine. Liverpool, impeccable record, obviously 6 wins from the last six. However, I mean, they have not been beaten in their last 16 games since Chelsea actually beat them, and that was in game week 19. Scored 51 goals in their 17 home games, conceded 15 goals during those games. Six clean sheets at home, we spoke about it. They haven't been getting enough clean sheets this season, but they're scoring so many goals, it doesn't matter. That goes to show again, as we've heard so often, the second best scoring record just behind Manchester City when we look at them for their home form. Henderson suspended, Sturridge is 50-50 with a hamstring injury. It'll be very interesting to see if he plays a part against his former club. Obviously, Chelsea, they're coming off a nil-all draw in the Champions League, which puts them in good stead to look at getting into the Champions League final, which is only going to be a couple of days later, the second leg, when they hosted Atletico Madrid at Stamford Bridge. So, Jose Mourinho, whether he's kind of playing mind games or not, he suggested he's going to make some rotation and some changes. But looking at Chelsea's form, it's really the form over the last six games which has caused their league title to really plummet. Three wins is coupled with three defeats, which has not helped them whatsoever. Obviously, Aston Villa, Crystal Palace and Sunderland, most recently the weekend, were the teams that inflict those defeats. They scored 24 goals in the 17 away games. They have conceded 15 goals during that period as well. Seven clean sheets on the road this season. basically puts them in good stead atop of that table, along with Southampton and West Ham. Obviously, we know that Hazard missed the Champions League game. He's still a doubt. Eto'o is rated at 75%. He's got a knee injury. It'll be interesting to see if that clears. I think the final thing to mention is last season, this game was played out as a 2-2 draw. However, interestingly enough, Chelsea went into the lead twice through Oscar and Hazard, but Sturridge was on the score sheet, and a 97-minute equaliser for Luis Suarez was enough to get that point for Liverpool. So what way do you see it going? What do you think is going to happen at Anfield this weekend?
Well, I mean, probably worth pointing out, I mean, you kind of referenced it there in Mourinho's mind games. After the Atletico game last night, Mourinho came out and kind of said, Petacek's season's over. Don't ask me to explain it technically, but it's over. With John, referring to John Terry, we'll have to play him in the final if he's to play with us again. So, I mean, Terry and Cech are out going into this one. And certainly, as you said, Eto is a doubt. Hazard is still cutting it tight to whether he's going to be back or not. But Mourinho went on. And he kind of made reference to the fact that, you know, I'll actually give you a quote here. He says, "I will play the players that are not going to play Wednesday. This is not a decision the manager can make on his own. I'm just a piece in a big club and I have to go with the decisions we make collectively. If the club decides to go with everything in the direction of the Champions League, I'm ready for that. We have a big match on Wednesday to play, a big match that can give Chelsea another Champions League final." And it kind of goes on to suggest that basically Chelsea are going to field an understrength side against Liverpool, which I seriously doubt. But when you look at who they have available, because of the injuries, it will be an understrength side. I think Mourinho was kind of making it out that he's going to be forced to play. He's going to play some of the kids by choice, but certainly that's not the case. It's because of the injuries he's going to be forced. But it all really plays in, as far as I can see, plays into Liverpool's hands. And I think Liverpool are going to be absolutely rubbing their hands in delight at this one. And if we go back to the fact that Moyes has been sacked, that has also played into their hands. I mean, if you think about it this week, all the press coverage has been about Moyes sacking. It's not about the build-up to the big game between Liverpool and Chelsea, where the title race can effectively be decided. So, I mean, from that point of view, Liverpool are flying under the radar going into a big game against a Chelsea side that are going to be depleted. And really, the form Liverpool are in, the amount of goals they're scoring, you referred to it there, I mean, the 51 goals and 17 home games, you kind of have to look to Chelsea this weekend. I would argue that you could look at having three Liverpool players.
Yeah, okay. So, look, everyone has Suarez. That's a fair enough. That's a given. So give me two more Liverpool players that you should have in your team.
Well, I think Raheem Sterling is the one that's come on onto the scene in recent weeks. Obviously, with Henderson suspended, it's kind of opened it up a little bit for Sterling. And I mean, he was very impressive last weekend. There's no doubting about it. He was really in good form. And I know it's slightly stating the obvious to now look at him having put in the performance he put in last weekend, but really, you know, it's all about foreign players. He's 5.9 million, and certainly he could be a very valuable option for fantasy managers, not only this week, but to finish out the rest of the season. And if he plays anything close to like he did last weekend, I think he's going to cause Chelsea some serious problems. We know Chelsea aren't exactly blessed for pace at the back. Obviously, Terry is going to be out, so they might get a little bit more pace now that he's not there. But still, Cahill isn't exactly the quickest on his toes. The only one in there, I would say, who does have any real pace is Azpilicueta. And I think they're going to cause him serious problems outside of Sterling. I think Steven Gerrard is still one to look at. Again, I'll harp on about him all day. You and Andrew laughed me out of the studio when I brought that up before, but I still think he's one to have a good look at. I mean, he's 9.9 million. His price has only gone one way. It's gone up. But when you look at it, the set piece duties and the and penalties that he's taken, with 13 goals and 11 assists, I still think he's very hard to ignore. If I thought Sturridge was fit, I'm definitely going to play. Maybe he'd come into the reckoning, but he's rated as 50% with a hamstring injury, like you said. So I think really it's Suarez, Gerrard, and Sterling to have a look at. I don't particularly think that we're going to see a clean sheet from Liverpool. I think Chelsea, with all the attacking threat they do have, with the likes of Salah and Matic, and Schürrle, and William, they can still cause problems. So I wouldn't necessarily look there for clean sheets. But certainly midfield and up front, you've got to fancy Liverpool.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you on that. And I suppose Gerrard, he started the season very, very slow. Then he found a bit of form. Then he dropped off. And I mean, he's made that position his own in central midfield, and he's really just flourished and grown and gotten better and better within that position as the season has went. So I mean, he'd have an outstanding season. And this was one of the main things. If Liverpool do go on to win the league, him getting, I suppose, a league winner's medal is probably the one thing that he hasn't received in his career that he, you know, I'm not going to say he's due, but it will be well deserved, absolutely, the way he's carried that team for so many years now. So I have Gerrard in the team. I'm absolutely going to play him. I've got Suarez. He's there. Sterling, absolutely. He's playing on, I suppose, on at the tip of the diamond. And he's absolutely worth bringing in if you're going to go for a third Liverpool player. As you say, I don't expect a clean sheet from either side in this game, so I would steer clear of Liverpool defenders. On the Chelsea side of things, it is very, very difficult to know who to bring in. Obviously, Ramirez. I mean, he's also facing charges from his incident last weekend. I wouldn't be too keen. I mean, like, the story is written for maybe Torres to come back, but you probably would expect him to play Ba, you know. Or I mean, if we're assuming that Edo's going to miss out, obviously Torres went back to Atletico and didn't do a whole lot there a few days ago. So I mean, the form he's been in for Chelsea, you wouldn't expect a whole lot against Liverpool, even if he did get the opportunity. So I will not have any Chelsea players, and it's not because I don't think they could get a, I think they could get a result, but I don't expect them to score a lot of points. And the only one who would probably jump out at me would be Schürrle, but again, we don't know that he's definitely going to start. So for that reason, I would probably steer clear of Chelsea this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one to call. Even if you could predict the starting lineup, you know, we're still struggling to pinpoint exactly where the points are going to come from. I mean, I brought Mohamed Salah in last week. He probably should have scored the weekend against Sunderland. He had one or two chances. One particular that I can remember was cut and dry, and he managed to miss. So frustration is certainly a feeling I have at the moment with him. But I mean, at 5.5 million, I'm not going to sell him. I'll hold on to him. He's going to play this week, and with Norwich and Cardiff to come after that, I mean, I'm hoping I'm going to get my value for money out of him over the last two games of the season at least. But I wouldn't be rushing out to bring any other Chelsea players in.
Yeah, and I suppose the other amazing thing is if they actually Chelsea do get to the final, Mark Schwarzer might get to play a Champions League final. I'm probably jumping too far ahead, but that'd be something nice to have in the twilight of your career. So I think probably nothing more to add on a football side. I think I might push you for a result. Or what way do you think it's going to go?
3-1 Liverpool.
Okay, very good. I think I'm thinking score draw or possibly Chelsea to edge it, but I mean, my head really kind of says score draw, so I can't wait to watch the game, basically. So that's one to look at now Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely. Right, final game, where are we after?
Well, so we have to look at if we look at the form table, the two teams which are top of that close to the top of that is Palace and City. If we look at Palace in particular, they're second. They've got 5 wins and 1 defeat from the last 6 games. They've scored 15 goals over that period of 17 home games. They've conceded 18 goals during those games. Obviously, 7 clean sheets at home this year, which is not a bad return considering you kind of write off the first 10 games they played. Unbeaten in the last 5. Shamak is possible for the... He may get back in time for this game. He's suffering from a knock. Obviously, Punchin has scored 4 goals and got 1 assist in his last 4 games, which is very impressive. If you look at Manchester City, 3 wins and 2 draws in the last 6 games isn't as impressive as it could be. They scored 34 goals in the last 17 away in their 17 away games. You see the 22 goals during that period. Only managed 5 clean sheets away from home, and obviously they are the second best scoring record behind Liverpool. Let's look at how many they have with 45. Yaya Toure, I would not expect to play. He's rated at 50%. Obviously, Silva looks like he's out for the rest of the season. That looks like a nasty injury he picked up. Navas also looks like he's going to miss out. However, Aguero did play and has a goal and 2 assists in his last 3 games. If we look at this last year, Manchester City, in 2004, Manchester City edged the 2-1 win, but Nicolas Anelka was actually playing for Manchester City back then. So that's pretty much irrelevant. The interesting thing is, and this is a dilemma that I have, and I know a lot of fantasy football managers are possibly going to have. I have Punchin at the moment, who is playing great. I've got Mariappa, who's at the back, picking up clean sheet after clean sheet. Now, your first look would say, look, you should play, if you've, I've got Zecco and Babaletta, you should play your Man City players. However, when you look at the form table, you look at how things are going, form says that you should be playing your Crystal Palace players and dropping your Man City players, possibly. What do you think of that, Phil? What would you do in that situation? What players, where do you see the points going this week, firstly?
Well, I certainly won't be dropping my City players, that's for sure. I'm hoping Yaya is going to get back. I don't think he will, but I'll hope against hope anyway.
Really, you have Yaya on your team?
I have him, and I haven't sold him. I'm holding on to him, hoping he comes good for the double in game week 37 with Everton and Villa. So I'm hoping he gets back for that one. I think you're right. I don't think he'll be back this week. I have Zabaleta. He got me a goal last week. I'm very pleased with that, and I'll hold on to him. He's going to play again this week. Palace haven't exactly been free scoring at home. They've only got 15 goals and 17 home games. So I don't think that Palace are going to, by any stretch of the imagination, put two or three past City. I sold Zecco last week and brought in Adebayor. That worked out wonderfully well for me, obviously.
They've good fixtures though for the rest of the season, so it may not.
It might pan out over
the course of the four games.
Yeah,
could be a good
move. It might do. And that's all I have in terms of City. I mean, realistically, I don't have Punchin. I didn't think his form would continue this long, and it's gone on that long that I've kind of just probably our stubbornness more than anything else went, no, that's going to stop. It's going to come to an end. Leave it alone. So I've kind of known my luck. I'd bring him in. He'd do nothing, and certainly this week isn't the week to bring him in anyway. But for me, I think you're right. I think if I had Palace defenders, I'd play them just in case they get the squeak. I mean, Speroni has got me some serious points over the last couple of weeks. So I'm going to.
Would you play Mariappa or Zabaleta? Would you pick a Palace player over a City defender?
No. But I am going to play Speroni in goal, and I'm going to play Zabaleta at the back. So, I mean, I'm kind of covering my bets in case one of them doesn't score, I suppose, is the best way of looking at it. I don't think City will go on and score four or five. We know City's away form hasn't been great this season, despite the fact that they've been scoring lots of goals. They have dropped points away from home. So I wouldn't be expecting that. But we know Tony Pulis has the team well drilled. It is worth pointing out that they are, of course, well safe at this point. But I think they knew that over the last game or two anyway, and I think they're genuinely making a push up the league table to try and get as much money, obviously, you know, points mean prizes in terms of the money at the end of the season, and they'll want to make sure that they get as much money into the club so they can strengthen the squad for next season. So I don't expect them to slack off too much, and I don't think Tony Pulis is a manager who will allow that to happen, we've seen at some other clubs. But yeah, I mean, Punchin, if I have him, he's going to play. If I have a Palace defender, I'm probably going to stick him in, because there is always that chance, and obviously there's going to be plenty of managers out there who will have Yaya like me. Unfortunately, it doesn't look he's going to be back. Silva is out, so I mean, from that point of view, Nasri kind of becomes the default City midfielder. If you're looking for a City midfielder, for me, I wouldn't. I'd hold off at the moment in the hope that Yaya will be back for the double next week. Whereas if you bring Silva or Nasri in this week, he is going to get the double next week, but I know I'd rather have Yaya. So if you were thinking of doing the swap, I'd just hold off on that one. And then it's Aguero up front. Yeah, I'm going to play Aguero. Of course I am, if I have him. Like you said, he's one goal and two assists in his last three, and he's the main threat that City have. For the remainder of the season, you're going to try and get the most out of him. Obviously, that double coming up next week. So maybe it's a case that you mightn't think he's going to get too many against Palace this week, but future planning would dictate that maybe now's the week to do it, so you're not taking too many points hits when it looks to setting your team up for the double.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I suppose, I mean, looking at that, I mean, so our Crystal Palace, they could get a top half finish. You know, they've stoken Newcastle ahead of them. And the way things are going, it looks very achievable that they could actually maybe leapfrog one of those to get into the top half of the table and stay there for the end of the season. I suppose realistically, I mean, let's say that Liverpool beat Chelsea, which is absolutely possible, I would probably then maybe think that, well, City could actually fold because they're playing later on that afternoon, and then your Crystal Palace players could benefit. Alternatively, if Chelsea go get the result, that's going to make things very it's going to really buoy up Manchester City and get them playing well. Then you'd have less faith in Crystal Palace delivering. So really what you have to then do if you're deciding between your City and your Palace players is you have to make a prediction for what you feel that Liverpool and Chelsea game, what score that's going to be. And then that should decide which way that you go and pick your players. So, I mean, look, that's too tight to call. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll see, make up your own mind which way that game is going and then decide what players you're going to play as a result.
Yeah, in fairness to you, that's very, very logical. I don't think I would have quite taken it that far. So, yeah, that's definitely one way of looking at it, all right. I wouldn't have even come close to thinking that. But I can see the sense in it, all right. So I think that probably wraps us up for three focus games. So we'll move it on for best of the rest.
Yeah.
Right, best of the rest, Paul. We'd started off first game of the week, 1:45 on Saturday, Southampton and Everton. Anyone in this one for you?
I mean, yeah, tough game to call. Probably the only person I'd probably go would be Coleman. Obviously, Everton have some injury worries. This stand looks like he's out, so that could make things a little bit shaky for them. But Coleman just continues to produce and produce and produce. I'm going to put him in there. Obviously, we've mentioned Southampton have kind of slackened off. Everton absolutely need to win to keep the pressure on Arsenal. Nice thing is, I mean, they can be ahead of Arsenal for a couple of days if they get the win. So that is he's the one player I'd go for out of that team. And obviously he got the assist again last weekend against Manchester United when he set up Kevin Morales for that goal that he scored.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Distan is a doubt going into this one. I've seen reports from Martinez. Morales is out for the rest of the season. He's not going to feature again, which is a huge blow to fantasy managers. I know quite a few would have had him in there. But then there's also, kind of, Martinez has said, well, he's not going to rush Phil Jagielka back just because Distan could be a doubt. So, I mean, it could be a bit of a makeshift Everton defence. Well, centre-half pair of more so. I mean, Stones is going to play. And then it's kind of Distan, if he's fit. I don't know if he's really going to rush Jagielka back, so we're going to have to wait and see how that one pans out. I mean, it's probably Alcaraz may have to come in to play alongside Stones, which is untried, really. But that's how it's kind of looking.
Got a few minutes together recently, but I wouldn't be putting confidence in me, you know.
And tell me this, Paul, Southampton. Are you along the same lines as me that they're on holiday mode and it's probably best to get rid of your Southampton players?
No, I don't think they've been playing that poorly. It probably is time to get rid of your Southampton players, and just because other teams have arguably better games and more incentive to play. So it's not so much that they're in holiday mode. I think they are still playing good football. But I just think that, you know, they haven't got that extra couple of percent that some of the other teams have when they're fighting for something. So
Well, here's one. One for you. Seems how you're the man on the terraces in Old Trafford. Luke Shaw to United. I'm hearing whispers that deal is done and dusted.
Yeah, it's something that's been spoken about for a while. I mean, if it is, look, that'd be great. It'd be just what we need to come in and do a job. But I mean, there's going to be a lot of competition from Chelsea as well. I mean, they were looking at and they were after a left back as well. So if it's done and dusted, great. But I would be I'd be surprised, let's say, if there's a free contract agreement or something like that signed at this point.
There you go, just to flag it here and now. Fulham and Hull, next game up, Paul.
Hull, they are a team who have their eye on the cup final. They were a little bit poor against Arsenal last weekend. I kind of watched that. And obviously, you just have to look at Fulham. I mean, Rodriguez, 5 million, there you go. He's done nothing all season. He's popped up with a few goals recently. So he'd be one I'd be throwing in. Obviously, he spoke about Sidwell. He scored, but he missed a penalty last week. But look, he's in form. He's at the centre of everything. So Fulham need to win. And I think they will win. And they will be the two players who I'd look to bring in. Wouldn't really see anybody outside of that. You can make your arguments, but I'd probably play safe and go with those two.
Yeah, I mean, I do fancy Fulham for a clean sheet this weekend. Surprisingly enough, I mean, Hull make the trip to the Cottage, having only managed 4 goals in the last 6 games, and that's a record that's only been beaten by Newcastle, who've only managed 2 in the last 6. So that kind of goes to show you that they are struggling for goals at the moment. It looks like the honeymoon period with Long and Jelovic is over. And while Hull aren't safe mathematically, I think they, you know, I don't think they'll need to hit that 40 point mark to stay safe. So I do fancy Fulham this week actually to get a result. And I think Hangeland could be the one to look at a 4 point day. He's probably the most reliable option. I mean, Reiter and Heitinga are both doubts going into this one, so certainly he looks like the most reliable option that's going to play this week. And I think Lewis Holtby is certainly another one to look at. I mean, Fulham had two wins and about going into last weekend's game with Tottenham. Holtby obviously couldn't play because of the loan agreement he has with Tottenham. Yeah. But I think he's certainly one to look at. He is reasonably cheap, as we know. And he's been getting points, and there's no arguing with it. I think Fulham are in that position where they really have to absolutely fight for everything. We have seen that Magath has started to get a reaction out of him. Whether it's too little too late, of course, will have to be seen. But with an ownership rate of 0.3%, I mean, Hope he's a serious differential going into this one. When you think that they have games against Stoke and Palace to come after this, I mean, Fulham could in theory get three results, and certainly Hope he's creating a chance every 31 minutes, and he's had 10 attempts on goal over the last couple of games, which isn't bad. And I just think he could be a differential for those looking for it to try and close the gap on their mini league rival. So I'd have a look at him.
He's really celebrating and his heart is really in it as well, which is nice to see from a player who's I suppose only with a team short term, really, you know.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, Hull have only managed two clean sheets away from home all season. So, I mean, I think I do fancy Fulham for goals. I actually fancy them for clean sheet, like I said. So, I think a Fulham defender mightn't be too bad. And with the games they have left, like I just mentioned, you might get more value than just this week out of them.
Cool. Okay. I think that sums that up nicely. So,
Stoke and Tottenham?
Tottenham. I think this is one we can probably keep relatively short. Yeah. Stoke are trying to play expansive football. It's going to play into Tottenham's hands. I would expect counter-attack. I suppose glory, let's call it that. Eriksen, if I could squeeze him into it, it's very difficult to get him into your midfield because there's so many midfielders vying for it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good week to bring him in if you could. And also looking at, I suppose, the remainder, I suppose our last couple of games as well. They aren't too bad away to West Ham. Which is a big derby, and then obviously home to Villa, which you would imagine. I mean, Villa are pretty much safe now. They're 35, probably one more result, but you would imagine they'll have that before that game comes around. So, I don't know if you have anything you'd like to add to that.
No, well, I mean, Eriksen obviously is just playing that well at the moment. He's very, very hard to ignore. And again, having spoken about Holtby as a differential at Fulham, there's another one to be found at Tottenham, and young Harry Kane, 4.4 million. He's got 3 goals in 3 games. And I think he's the first Tottenham striker to score in 3 successive games in a very, very long time. So he's certainly doing what most don't do at White Hart Lane. And I think he could be wanted to cause Stoke some trouble this week. We obviously know what the Stoke defence is like, big, strong, athletic, burly types, I suppose. And Kane, you know, he's a big lad. He's not going to be easily pushed around, and I think we could see another one for him. So if anyone's looking for an outside shout this week at 4.4 million, I think Harry Kane is it.
Sounds good. Sounds very interesting, actually, especially with such a cheap price there. If we look at Swansea, Aston Villa, Bonny was 10th in last, so he didn't go with him. He got the 2 goals. I kind of think Aston Villa might get a result in this game, simply because they need it. But however, like, Swansea are only on 36 points, so very, very tight stuff. I suppose realistically, a draw would probably do both clubs. So on that, I'm not really going to look at any fans. I'm not going to bring anyone in from this game. And actually, the next game, West Brom, West Ham, I'm probably not going to bring anyone in for that fixture either. I don't know if anybody from those four teams has caught your eye and merits a purchase.
No, not really. I mean, you're right, we spoke about Boney. But what worries me is that if you look at his goal scoring record, of the last 6 goals or 7 goals he's scored, only one of those has come at home, and that was against Cardiff back in game week 25. So he seems to be a player that likes to score away from home, no pun intended. And you know, I couldn't see me dropping one of the strikers I have for him. So he doesn't make the cut, and I think you're right. West Brom and West Ham for me, I'm not really liking anything there either. They just They're just not doing it. Yeah, they're not really doing a whole lot. I mean, there was boos at Upton Park after the game at the weekend. West Ham are safe. Yeah, listen, we'll move on. And the next game up is Sunderland and Cardiff. I suppose we should really talk about Sunderland and their mini revival at the moment. Is Conor Wickham someone on your radar, Paul, or Fabio Barini?
You know what? Barini is tempting. I'm not too interested in Wickham. And then I just have a big question mark over Johnson. If I was really going for one, I'd go for Barini. That will be it. You know, obviously, I mean, he takes penalties, which is nice. He's a skillful player. We know what he can do, and he does score the odd great goal too. So he will be the lad I'd look at. I think it is worth having one Sunderland player in your team, and might even be worth having maybe a John O'Shea, because I wouldn't be surprised to see them maybe get a clean sheet in this game and maybe in one or two more. But having said that, being the height of the exposure, would probably be one player, really.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think we could see a clean sheet out of Sunderland this week. I mean, looking at the form and the stats going into this one, I mean, Cardiff have only managed 12 goals away from home all season, and when you consider 3 of those 12 came in game week 32 against West Brom, they haven't exactly been free scoring away from the Cardiff City Stadium. So I would actually look to Sunderland for a clean sheet. And at 4.5 million, Marcus Alonso was someone who obviously caught my eye last week, having picked up an assist, but with an ownership rate of 0.1%, he's another interesting differential. I mean, I've been going on about differentials now, but that's really what it's all about at this point of the season. You're looking to get players in who can still perform, that you know those above you in your league aren't going to have, which are going to help you close the gap. So for me, if I was looking, if you do, like me, think that Sunderland will keep a clean sheet, I'd have a look at Marcus Alonso. He does get forward, he will deliver balls into the box, and with such a low ownership rate and a cheap price of 4.5 million, it could be an interesting one for the last couple of games.
Yeah, absolutely. If we look at the last game, Arsenal versus Newcastle, we have a team which are kind of coming into a bit of form, fighting for fourth place in the driving seat, versus a team which, I suppose you've used the phrase on holidays to talk about Southampton. I think we've both agreed that Newcastle are somewhat on holidays, as their last five defeats have shown. Most people sold their Arsenal players because they went on such a dreadful run. I'd be surprised if anybody listening actually has any Arsenal players. Maybe they've got one, unless they made a sneaky substitute and a sneaky transfer last week. Are you going to bring any Arsenal players back into your team, or is there any that you are on your radar?
Honestly, if you could give me a couple of free transfers, yeah, I would have an Arsenal defender in for the rest of the season. And I would have Aaron Ramsey back, and maybe, just maybe, I'd even have Giroud. But I mean, Ramsey at 7.4 has come back into the mix. Obviously, he was out for quite a long time. And he picked up 16 points last week against Hull with two assists and a goal. He picked up an assist against West Ham after only coming off the bench for 19 minutes. So he's looking to get back to the form he was at. He's 7.4 million. And I think with Arsenal's remaining fixtures, you could do a lot worse than spending 7.4 million on Aaron Ramsey. And with Lallana having fallen off, I know we just mentioned Southampton there, I think that's Ramsey now an ideal replacement for Lallana, because I don't think Southampton are going to do a whole lot for the rest of the season. So Arsenal, of course, face West Brom at home after this game, and then it's an away trip to Norwich. So I'll be looking for them to do quite well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that and echo that absolutely. So that's
best of the rest
in all the games.
Yeah, right. Let's move it on for captain's tips. Right, come on, Paul. Where are you doubling your points? Fill me in.
Where am I doubling my points? Well, you know, there's two places which I'm looking. I'll go to the first. Obviously, we've mentioned Ramsey. He's having in the games he's played, he's had a very, very good season. 9 goals, 8 assists. I think Arsenal will score a few goals. And, I mean, Arsenal Newcastle, it's set up for them to do so. And that's also coupled by the fact that Newcastle have lost their last 5 games and they're just all over the place. And if the calendar year, if we look at a league table, over 2014, they'd actually be second bottom, which just goes to show you, like, it's like they've been on 45, 46 points, whatever it is, are an absolute age now. So that's where I'm first tempted. But I think where I'm going to go put it, and you're probably not going to be surprised to hear it, is going to be Wayne Rooney and looking for United to put in, probably put in one of their first strong performances of the season. So
yeah,
at the moment, that's where the armband's sitting. I'd have to buy Ramsey. I haven't done that just yet.
Yeah, is that going with your head or your heart, though, Paul, the Rooney?
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit of both, really. You know, having said that, I mean, I was very, very unimpressed with Norwich when they came to Old Trafford earlier in the season. They were very, very poor. A bit of Snodgrass was, I suppose, be a bit of a threat this weekend. But I just Norwich are just in such free fall, and they're just nearly fodder. So it's a mix of both, absolutely. Mm. But it's a captain, that means I don't have to make a transfer. So that's probably what wins it, you know.
So the captain by convenience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. I mean, for me, I like the Ramsey shout. I certainly think I would have to bring him in, but I've already talked myself into that during the podcast by selling Lallana and bringing in Ramsey. So I think he may get the armband. I think Christian Eriksen is in a great run of form. He is also one who could get the armband. Mata, like you said, if you fancy United to keep running, he's one that could see the armband. And then there's something in me is just telling me Luis Suarez is going to run absolute riot against Chelsea. I think this is it. This is the game.
He's not going to bite anybody like last year, you know?
I don't care. He can bite as many people as he likes as long as he scores plenty of goals and then gets sent off. Looking at my squad the way it is, if I didn't make any transfers, it would be between Eriksen and Suarez. And I think I'd have to back Suarez. But really, Suarez, Ramsey and Eriksen are probably the three main contenders for me for the armband this week. But I do think Suarez is going to cause Chelsea all sorts of problems. So that's really how I see
it. Suarez for you and Rooney for me. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah, and that's Captain's Tips. Right, so that's it. We are at the end of game week 36. Just a bit of housekeeping, I suppose, to take care of. We were hoping to run a competition tonight to give away a copy of the FPL Strategies ebook, How to Win Your Mini League. And to enter that competition, all you had to do was leave a rating or review on the podcast over on iTunes. But we've had some difficulty getting onto iTunes to just pick a winner at random at the moment. So we're going to leave that competition run until next week. So if you haven't already got onto iTunes to leave a rating or review, you can head on over there now, leave one of those, and we'll be picking a winner at random next week. And of course, Lifetime will be back on the Twitter machine this Saturday from 10:30 a.m. to answer all your last minute questions ahead of game week 36. So at Fantasy Prem Tips for that. And for those of you who would be happy to know, Andrew should be back in the hot seat next week, and I'll go back to just being a plain old punter once again as we get ready.
We're going to have a real presenter next week. Wow.
Thanks, mate. That's real.
You were good, though. You were good.
Well, you know, make do, I suppose. I'm not here for my boyish good looks and charms, unfortunately. I do have some uses. But, yep, that's it from me for this week. Paul, thanks very much for joining me as usual. And we'll talk to you again next week.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot. See you.